Jeff DeForest along with Mike Lubitz, although we're hearing footsteps that we might be replaced by a couple of characters in our endeavor to do sports talk here. And we want to introduce two of our favorite characters at once right now, both Bugs Bunny and Yogi Bear. Bugs, Yogi, how are you guys?
It's true, Doc. I'm a rabbit, all right. And right next to me here is that illustrious bear, Yogi Bear.
Hey, I'm smarter than the average bear.
That's great.
I think you're onto something there. Of course, we're talking to Jeff Bergman. James, congratulations. You're winner of the Marlin tickets. Thanks so much for calling in.
Hey, well, thank you very much, and I want to thank you for being a great entertainer and sports guy, you and Luby both, for many years in Miami. I listen to you guys almost every morning. My daughter actually recites your phone number.
Hey.
Yeah, every time you guys announce it, she says it with you, number for number.
That's great.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, man. Well, we appreciate you. We love you guys. We listen almost every morning.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, thank you for the kind words. They are greatly appreciated, and every now and then, just like when Budenholzer told his team, you can do it, you need a little encouragement to just continue in this job, as often it seems like a blind endeavor into the dark. We're talking to Jeff Bergman, who is both Bugs Bunny and Yogi Bear. If Bugs Bunny and Yogi Bear were going to do a ball game of some sort, what would that sound like?
Well, all right, folks. There he is, LeBron James, coming down the court. There he is. Up, nope, he's a little bit of a crybaby. That's right, Doc. Up.
Hey, oh boy, there's Anthony Davis dribbling down the court. And I'm talking about not that dribble, another dribble.
All right, there he is, folks. The action is about to start. Oh, there's a foul. Ow. And that's all, folks.
Jeff Bergman.
The time.
Wake up with Defoe. Joined by Luby. Welcome to The Defoe Show.
All right, I'm glad I didn't make that call then. Welcome back to the show. Morning once again, everybody, on a beautiful Friday, a Deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday. We're live here at Gulfstream Park. Couldn't be any better. Racetrack Rock. You were asking just a quick aside here, and I'm sure we'll get into this somewhere during the show because it's all the talk, all of the sporting conversation, the mental health issues of young Simone Biles. And, of course, did we not tout the winner? I mean, it wasn't like I came up with that on my own, movie, but that Suni Lee, she won the all-around anyway, the gymnastics all-around. So did that salvage the games for NBC? That's the question of the day. You can put that up as the poll question of the day, Mike Luby Lubitz. Are the Olympic Games and all of the monetary considerations salvaged by the network now because we won the women's all-around anyway with Suni Lee, a new superstar, another gymnast from Minnesota? Do they have anything else to do there in Minnesota? I guess it's so freaking cold, right? You just break out some apparatus, start going on the uneven bars after you had a walleye sandwich at some restaurant somewhere. Incredible.
The pictures that you sent back when you guys did the Super Bowl up there, when you went to
Raven. Oh, it was frozen tundra, that was rough. My friend. It may as well have been at Lambeau Field.
Well, when you guys went out ice fishing that day and Luby had the chainsaw and he was cutting the holes in the ice for you, that was good. I mean, I like those pictures.
I think we can catch a walleye.
Wow.
It was interesting, too, that Jeff Bergman thing, because why didn't I ask him to do Luby and the Pauly Man?
He could have.
It would have sounded something like this. You be Luby, I'll be the poly man.
I mean, the draft looks good this year. There's a couple of guys that I think are good guys. And maybe we get those guys. I mean, if the guy's there later, don't you think, Paul, that he would be the guy we would want?
It'd be good to get a guy who could be a guy. If you could find a guy that could be that guy, then you would have the right guy. I got to meet a guy at 12 outside of Denny's up there in Commercial. Seems to be questioning whether or not the juice was on last week. I'm going to say that
juice.
It
was.
No, Bergman could have done it, right? It would have sounded a little bit like Bugs and Yogi. Not exactly, but that's what struck me during that. And then on this Biles thing, I mean, did you see the Leaper? I guess it was about 2 years ago. Larry the Leaper was out here at the Breezeway Bar, Gulfstream Park, and there was a particularly questionable and disgusting disqualification that I think had cost Leaper a chance to get back in the game, right?
Right.
Isn't that when a beat is the most disgusting, when you had a chance to recover your entire bankroll for the day, all rolled up into one move? You were absolutely right about whatever proposition it was you were betting on. In this case, it was horses. And you hit the thing, and then it was kind of like a long time ago, and it involved the Polyman and the Argentine Tango takedown, where some clown is running, like, out of nowhere, and he says, "It's going to be an inquiry! It's going to be an inquiry!" And I'm like, what do you know about this, right? You're ready to go to the window there. Sure enough, here it comes, inquiry sign. And then a particularly disgusting beat. But if you saw Simone Biles, see, you're saying that she looked good on all of these?
Earlier in the competition, I mean, I think, you know, the floor exercises and things like that, she was still scoring in the 14s and 15s. She was doing fine. Some of her landings weren't perfect, but then I
landing. That landing when she got off the vault, when she finally decided to pack it in,
yes,
it looked just like the Leaper when he went rolling after that disqualification was posted, and he had a chance to get his 240 back plus the money he had borrowed off the people from Deal Volkswagen, and all of a sudden, he was back to zero. And now what do? Do you hit the guy up for more money? See, now certain people are shameless. They'll just do that, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if she felt like she was being an anchor and she was dragging the team down, then, I mean, I don't mind her bailing out. You know, I get it.
You've been an anchor many times.
Sure.
I mean, dragging everybody down. Now, you never bothered to disqualify yourself from whatever it was we were doing.
If I was out at Patch Reef Park and I was playing a little hoops with the boys and I was just having one of those days where everything I threw up, you know, I would just get mad enough and just say, you know what, guys, I had enough of this stuff. I'm killing you and I'm killing myself and off I go. You know, enough's enough. You know when you're having a bad day, right? I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
You're going to be out on the tennis court later with young Kirk in the Battle of the Ages. It's, you know, a young 30-something-year-old against a geezer.
No, and a guy's in shape, man. I mean, what kind of matchup is that?
No, but I mean, it's
you
good.
Pit me
no,
against
you play for real? Like, I don't get it. You don't just hit balls? Like, you actually play sets and the whole thing?
No, this is a real game. That's what I was hoping.
Singles is where it's at, Luby.
I was hoping there would be some type of a pool or some type of action on this thing. Like
zero action. It's like minus 10,000 or whatever.
That's what you are to win? Minus, you got to lay?
You would get like plus 5,000 on me.
If you beat Kirk.
But you would have to lay 10,000 to win 100 on Kirk.
I just would like
the guy's 35 years old. He doesn't have an ounce of fat on him, and he played tennis since he was three.
And you're double that age.
He grew up at the same park as the Williams sisters, and he was hitting with them.
And you're 70, so you're double his age, right?
What chance would you give me? I mean, it would be beyond 0.0. Any money that's wagered on me in this competition is going up in smoke.
But here's the thing. You're out there probably five nights a week hitting tennis balls, playing the game. You actually play the game.
It doesn't matter. If you're good at the game, then you immediately eclipse anything that any guy that plays every day can do.
The kid has hit a tennis ball maybe three times in the last 3 months. So I mean,
well, see. You think he's good. So, you know, who says that you're any judge?
I just think his youth will prevail over your old goat butt. I mean, you know.
You're just looking to take shots here because you don't want to talk about the NBA draft.
No,
like
I do want to talk about
I know where you're going with this.
No.
You're hiding the fact that you couldn't name a single player in the NBA draft.
The guy Luby named it. It was supposed to go four and went five.
Suggs. You saw him with Gonzaga. You were all over Gonzaga from the beginning of the season, as I recall.
Luby is shocked that he went at five. Luby thought maybe he'd go higher.
What's great about you is when you bet on horses, you really know your horses. I mean, even if you're wrong, you at least
take a shot on something.
There's a certain amount of logic and knowledge and your theories applied that do make some sense in many spots. But with basketball, you're betting on Gonzaga all season long and had them to win the championship, and you wouldn't know what part of the country the school was in. Why do people do that now with the sports betting? I mean, you know, it really is something. Maybe we should issue some public service announcements and issue some, you know, disclaimers about betting on sports.
Well, I mean, if there was any betting this afternoon in the big blow at Pompano where you two guys are going to get out there and duel it out, I think final score will go two sets.
Look, here's how I work this.
6-1, 6-1. Broncato is how I see
no,
it.
No, if I see that this guy is way better than me, I'm not playing him.
You're going to walk off
the
court.
No, I'm going to say, why don't we just hit for a while? I'm not going to walk off the court and pull a Simone Biles.
You'll do a walk-off.
Yeah. Have mental health issues, and I don't mean to joke about this, but everybody in this business is a basket case, and you know that.
Boy, your mental health issues have a lot to do with losing days at the track, which have driven.
It has nothing to do with that. Those are fine. I absorb those as if they were, you know, typical and more than well-deserved.
Now, I think they've driven you insane. The takedown of Argentine Tango.
The tango, still, I can see it. I remember this clown running like... Like he was a one-armed man in The Fugitive towards me, you know, like running away from Lieutenant Philip Gerard, and he's going, they're going to take him down. They're going to take I'm like, what are you talking about?
But you still, this is years later. It's got to be 10 years ago that this happened. And you
it was more than that.
As long as that, because it happened before I met him, and he's been ranting about it ever since.
He's still talking about the tango takedown. It was like one of the biggest things ever.
I tumbled much like the leaper in the very same fashion that Simone Biles did when she peeled herself off the mat after that ball. When have you ever seen a landing like that? Carrie Strug breath, never.
You were flat down on the floor. Paulie Man, dead, walking to his car.
Paulie Man was even more distraught than I was, because for him, this was ultimate get-out money.
I was walking in the track as the Paulie Man was walking out of the track, and he was
wasn't walking out of the track.
Well, he
had to be wheeled out of here.
He was carried up.
Thank God for the medical staff here at Gulfstream Park.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. That's all he kept saying was he couldn't believe it. I mean, it was a sad day.
If we had taped that, we could have sent it to Jeff Bergman, the voice of Bugs Bunny and Yogi Bear. You'd have a whole new character, based on Ralph Cramden.
The guy was speaking
meets
in
cartoon
tongues.
Characters.
I mean, it was terrible. It's just terrible.
Kwame Brown, what do you think, Luby? Does Jordan ever live that down? No one cares because he's Jordan.
Yeah, they forget because he's Jordan.
Stu Inman, nobody remembers Stu Inman, unfortunately, because he was considered to be one of the great executives in NBA history.
Uh-huh.
And yet, for all of his brilliance and all of his intellectual prowess, he still took Sam Bowie under the rationalization that we already have a two-guard.
Yes.
Can you imagine it? Yeah, they had Clyde
Drexler.
Drexler
is a top 50 player. Like, at the time, it wasn't a insane move. They needed a big. They had a guy who played. Drexler played very much like Jordan. And at the time, Drexler may have already been as good, if not better, than Jordan at the time. So
listen to me for a second here, Dean Smith breath.
I'm not saying it's the worst pick ever. I'm just saying at the time, I feel like he didn't get a lot of guff for it at the time.
It was a horrible pick. It was the worst pick ever. There's no question about it. Houston's off the hook for taking Akeem. Well, we know that. And the reason we bring this up is because we're trying to figure out what other way to analyze this is there other than to say, what is the biggest mistake you've ever made in your life? And there you have your NBA draft analysis. Right?
Those are draft Wonderful. Mistakes.
You realize you might have done something dumber than the Timberwolves. And who's likely to make the most outrageous and egregious draft blunder? It would be the Timberwolves, now owned in part by A-Rod.
Yeah, Cavs
or the Sacramento Kings.
Kings
are always doing something stupid, aren't they? I mean, they're really a dumb franchise if there ever was one.
Dumb.
All right, back with more. And they're in the middle of the state of California. They're not in a desirable location. People say, oh, yeah, you're going to be playing in California. Yeah, in a rat hole city like Sacramento. Unbelievable. Well, it's the capital, Defoe. You should have more respect for it. All right, we're coming back with more. A deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday. See, you haven't come clean yet, I'm all about honesty and straightforwardness.
Stick around till right after the break. I'm going to come up with the dumbest thing I've ever done. I'm going to come up with it. I'm going to really think about it.
I mean, all the things you pulled off in school, you know, various people that you've... you know, maybe taking advantage of. All right, coming back with more in a moment. I'll let that hang. Now that.
The time.
Yankees in town tonight. How come you didn't have any Yankee ticket requests?
I wanted those four games for the Mets, you kid.
Four games for the Mets. Hey, can you believe this schnorrer, Luby? He complains about you.
He wants all four games, four tickets
for all four games. There's no way that this gentleman, Kirk, he's going to be exhausted after he plays tennis tonight, is going to four Met games next week.
You never know. He's a Met fan.
Casey Stengel, if he came back to life, wouldn't go to all four Met games. What's going down there? Schlepping down there to all. Well, I mean, there'll be people that do it, I guess. Mike Nyman might be inclined to do it.
Meet the Mets, greet the Mets.
Mets very popular. All right, back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
It's 7:20.
I got one tomorrow that's going to be coming from the back of the pack, which I'm hoping my boy Pete Aiello can come with. Here comes Princess Causeway with Chris Landeros in the 12th race, $48,000 purse. Princess Causeway, trained by Ian Wilkes, the number one horse.
And what kind of price are we
12th
looking at?
12th race, Gulfstream, number one horse. He's 8-1 in the morning line. We'll be jumping off the 17th
Street. Yeah, you'll be ready to jump off the causeway. 79th Street, if this horse runs last.
Now we need this horse to make a powerful move down the stretch, or else we will be jumping off the causeway.
Princess Causeway remains eighth and last, and JP's Delight is already under siege. JP's Delight has taken pace pressure every step of the journey, and she's giving way as Violent Times has now dueled her into submission. Liza Star on the outside is up into second, looking for somebody to run home from the back. Aerosol's making a bit of ground, so is Princess Causeway from the back. After a 44-3 half mile, Violent Times coming away with a huge effort, an eighth of a mile from home and a length and a half in front. Princess Causeway motoring for Landeros, but time is ticking away. 16th to go. Violent Times almost home. Here's Princess Causeway. Can she get there? Yes, Princess Causeway from way back to win it.
The only way to get your morning started is with Defo, joined by Luby, right here on The Defo Show.
Welcome back to the show. A deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday is well underway here at the Breezeway Bar at Gulfstream Park. Great being out here. Jeff DeForest, Mike Luby Lubitz, and he is channeling his inner Luby Brown today with his expert and in-depth NBA draft analysis. It's weird when your team has no interest in the thing. The Heat didn't get into the draft at all, did they, Mike Luby Lubitz? There was some theory out there that they might try to work their way in and maybe pick up a second-round pick just to make a token move. But none. They did nothing, right?
None.
Nothing.
They've already signed some undrafted free agents, but they didn't draft one guy last night. It's like the third time in the last like 5 or 6 years they have had not one draft pick in an NBA draft.
Did the Lakers get markedly better with Russell Westbrook?
Oh, yeah, on paper.
That's a good question for you, Luby Brown. Yeah.
Oh, on paper. Look,
I love Westbrook. I'm a Westbrook fan.
Was the king of the triple-double last year. He still put up great numbers and helped get a Wizards team that was supposed to be one of the worst in the league into the whatever the tournament was, and they were fun to watch at the end of the year. On paper, yeah, the problem is Westbrook's in his 30s now. LeBron is about to be 37, and finally age is catching up with him, and Anthony Davis is always hurt. That's the problem. It's like the Nets. Both on paper should be in the finals. Will they? Okay, who knows?
Yeah, they're getting old, Luby. You're right. These guys, I mean, they basically should just quit.
Have had injuries. All three of the Lakers and all three of the Nets are all guys that have had injuries a lot in the last 2 to 3 years.
I love it, man. I mean, Diane Cannon will be coming back. She'll probably get some new plastic surgery so that she looks the part.
Cannon.
How's Cannon looking these days?
I don't know that she could be looking.
She was a highlight at Laker games. Remember
her
Diane
and Jack
Cannon?
Mickelson.
The 80s.
Yeah, I mean, they would sit together.
Did you not like her in movies when you were a kid?
Cannonball Cannon, Run or something? I don't know what she
Cannonball,
was in.
Cannonball, I mean, you know, now you're playing with words here. But
that was a movie. Burt Reynolds was in it. You know, all those.
Cannonball Run was great, yeah. She was in that too, Diane Cannon.
I think Cannon was in there, wasn't she? She looked good.
Could have been, yeah. No, she was great on the sidelines there. I mean, what was more favorable? Seeing what gave you more entertainment? Seeing Diane Cannon jumping up and down when the Lakers were winning back in the Showtime days, or Jack Nicholson sitting there with that guy Adler, who was a record producer? Everybody always wondered who's the strange cat with the hat.
It was cool
that
seeing,
Nicholson was sitting with.
Seeing Jack sitting there.
Jack was great, yeah, but let's face it, it was Cannon all the way, stealing the show.
The next woman that takes me on is going to light up like a pinball machine and pay off in silver dollars.
What about, so which was the biggest blockbuster, Luby? Did you put that up on the poll question of the day?
No.
This is a good generic sports topic type of thing. I heard them discussing this on CBS Radio on the way in, the lovely Amy Lawrence. Biggest blockbuster deal yesterday in sports.
When you got Lubitz to be the producer of your show, that was big. Go. That was huge.
Well, are they considering Riz and Rizzo like old? Rizzo
doesn't look the same to me. Yeah, I mean, a couple of years ago, the guy was dynamite. I hate to put down a local guy.
I like
guy,
Rizzo.
But,
he's a good guy. We've had him on a couple times, but he's a local dude. But like, he's not this.
Shot
not
fighter,
the same
you're
level.
Saying?
a Scherzer or like, yeah, Scherzer and Westbrook are older, but they're still like prime dudes. Like Westbrook's still a top 20 player, and Scherzer's still a top, what, 10 pitcher? Like Rizzo
yeah,
isn't
Yankees,
that.
Yankees get Rizzo. They also picked up Joey Gallo, who is, or else he hits one out of the park. That ball is going, gone.
Your boy Big Rich was very excited about the Yankees maneuvers.
Oh, he is a diehard Yankee fan.
Big Yankee fan, yeah.
Well, that's actually, you know who would be an expert on this? The Polyman, one of the great Yankee fans of all time. He'll be with me tomorrow from Hialeah Park, as we'll have the Hialeah Park Trivia Challenge. Today, we're here at Gulfstream, and it's great. Had a couple of trainers out here looking at their horses. You seem to know every... I don't want to say, I don't want to get you in a jackpot here, but it seems like you know every female exercise rider. Is there something that you're not revealing here, Mr. Honesty, Mr. Transparency?
Leave him alone. Why are you trying to mess with
his
thing?
No, because he won't talk about the biggest mistake of his life. Well, we're trying to find some kind of draft perspective, and I've named a couple of things that I realize if I had just made... a small move, a token gesture, I might have changed my entire life in terms of my ability to go out there and live it with means.
Maybe instead of skipping my SAT test and going to Monmouth Park to bet on some horses, back in the day, maybe, who knows, I could have been a scholar and, went on to great heights. But instead, no, I'm sitting here at a racetrack with you at 6 in the morning. Reading.
Your brother Kevin seems far more educated. Did he pay more attention at school?
Kevin, great.
Was he out there at Freehold? Yeah.
Great student, went to Syracuse, went to that Newhouse school.
Ian Eagle's buddy.
Ian's buddy.
Were they roommates, Ian Eagle? Or
no,
was he roommates with Tirico?
Ian was actually, Kevin was in a junior when Ian got there, but he was, Tirico and him were buddies. They were spring breaking down here together and stuff. They were really good friends. And,
Tirico, I mean, speaking of stepping in it, I mean, he's rolling out there now. He's the new Costas on the Olympic Games.
And, and Kevin not doing too bad out there with the Seattle Mariners. And, so I probably,
Did we ask him how come the Mariners always suck, though? No, it's not his fault. I mean, that's not his department.
That.
He's not in player
personnel.
I think
it's impressive that no matter what happens to the Mariners, he sticks with them. And every year they get fans there. Like, he does as good a job as anyone in sports because they've been consistently yet they always, sell out.
They had that year when they had Griffey Jr. and that big pitcher that was...
Yeah, and for 20 years they had Ichiro.
Ichiro,
right. People were coming over from Japan. I mean, even during the Olympics to watch Ichiro play.
You got to give the kid credit. I'm sure out of all the brothers, the three of us...
He might be considered the most successful.
Oh, he is definitely
You're
the most.
You're sitting on a pile of cash. You're so full of crap.
I'm probably
Busted
jealous of
Ryan, you go around acting like, this poor barnacle boy, like you're scraping, mollusks off the seawalls. Truth is, you're sitting on millions. You're so full of it. All right, we're coming back with more in a moment. Goes pleading poverty into Anna at Deal Volkswagen. Oh, I don't know if I can afford this pre-owned vehicle. Can you help me?
Oh, my God. Man. I bet that's exactly what
she bought it, too, man. You say Anna's Fast was off the board? Is that the bad news?
Yeah, it had a bad trip, I think. I don't know. Well, check it out. I know it also ran. You hate when it's in the also-ran.
Yeah. But, I mean, is it early in the also-ran? Does that mean it finished fourth?
I don't want to say where it was in the also-ran, but it was down near the bottom of the also-ran.
Oh, well, that's not a good sign. Probably didn't like the slop. All right, Deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday, live here from Gulfstream Park. Hey, Deal Volkswagen, the Forest Files. Is the X-Man happy yet? This may be irrelevant already, Luby. We might have to bag it. He didn't come to any kind of terms with the Dolphins.
No, but he walked off yesterday. He's having some kind of an injury kind of a thing where he stretched early and then he didn't practice. So it still works. It still works.
All right, good. So a very relevant editorial commentary by me.
Got hurt during stretching. That's big.
Known as the Deal Volkswagen DeForest Files. Still applicable today. All right, back with that in a moment. Now that.
The time.
I heard that yesterday.
It's 7:35. Looks like the big holdout is in our own backyard. That story in a moment. Hi, Jeff DeForest here for the great people at Deal Volkswagen. Riddle me this. What's smaller than a Tiguan and starts with a T? It's the brand new 2022 Volkswagen Taos. Introducing the newest VW SUV that proves the best things come in small packages. And there's a huge selection of these new babies at Deal Volkswagen right now, where Anna makes buying or leasing a VW so easy. From bold styling to a turbocharged engine to the VW digital cockpit, the Taos truly checks all the boxes. It delivers on what you're looking for, and then some. Available features include driver assistance, App Connect, IQ Drive, rear view camera, touchscreen, nav, and 10-color ambient lighting, just to name a few. Start your summer in a brand-new 2022 Volkswagen Taos from Deal. They offer outstanding prices, selection, and service. And Anna and the gang will take care of you and no hassles whatsoever. Visit Deal today at the classic location, 3601 Bird Road, or call 305-448-DEEL, or visit DealVolkswagen.com. And you'll be like thousands of happy customers like me and the Mustang that say, it's all about the DEEL. Throughout this past offseason, there was a lot of noise about NFL quarterbacks and their desire to play elsewhere. Russell Wilson didn't want to be a Seahawk anymore. Deshaun Watson was done with the Texans, and Aaron Rodgers was sick of what was going on in Green Bay. Those were just the malcontents. There was also movement of several big-name QBs as Matthew Stafford was gone from Detroit and off to Los Angeles. The Rams sent Jared Goff packing to the Lions in exchange for what Sean McVay saw as a better solution at quarterback, and Carson Wentz was dealt by the Eagles, who no longer had faith in his ability to lead their team. Ultimately, Wilson made his peace with Seattle, saying leaving was never an issue. Watson, in a major legal jackpot, became virtually untradeable, so he showed up for training camp with Houston, and Rodgers, who was the most persistent and loudest voice of discontent, casually strolled into Packers training camp on time and armed with a deal he found to be more to his liking. That left the holdout spotlight shining squarely on Miami, where all-pro cornerback Xavien Howard says, pay me or trade me. Howard showed up and claimed he will proceed in a professional fashion as he awaits some kind of development on what he feels is a feeble contract. The impasse comes for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is the amount of money the Dolphins gave Byron Jones as a free agent to play second fiddle to the X-Man on the other side. There's no argument Howard is Miami's best defensive player and quite likely the team's best player overall. His 10 picks last year were more than significant and could easily be pointed to as one of the main reasons the Fish exceeded expectations and won 10 games in the second year of their tank job program. The team would argue he just got paid, having signed a lucrative extension just over a year ago, one that at the time made him the highest paid corner in the league, even though his stats and performance didn't justify that at the time. However, those kind of distinctions evaporate quickly in the NFL, as whatever the latest deal consummated is usually eclipsing all the others previously on the books. Does Howard deserve the money? One would have to think yes. Are the Dolphins inclined to capitulate to his demands and renegotiate at some level? You would have to think there might be a willingness to consider it in some way. For now, however, it's impasse city, with the possibility a trade may have to happen to appease both sides. Just odd, with all the attention being paid to finicky, high-priced quarterbacks, it's a corner in Miami whose dissatisfaction with the club is making the most noise at post time. Jeff DeForest for the DeForest Files. So happy to have him back on the show. The great Tom Rinaldi joins us, ESPN, ABC, and virtually everywhere else.
Is there any way, and I'm just put you on the spot right here.
Yeah.
Can we get a little piano or violin music bed right now?
We wanted to do this, because we actually had a proposition for you. We had a crowning achievement on the show where a kid skipped school to come to the racetrack to pick up a couple of tickets that he won for a Dolphin game. We thought that was a big moment, so if you have anything on that, we'd love it.
A boy faces a difficult decision to further his own education or have the chance to profit through gambling. That trail, filled with missteps, can often lead to peril. But for this young man, it led to the glory we call profit.
We now return to the Defoe Show.
Wah bam bloom bam blam bam bam to the boot. Oh rude. To the boot. Oh rude. To the boot.
I would have to maybe even pen, not just pencil, but pen in my all-time favorite career moments. That whole scenario that unfolded that day here at Gulfstream Park, where we are today, for a Deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday. And remember, the circumstances were all triggered by the people at Deal Volkswagen, who said, hey, you know what? We've got a couple of really good seats for this Dolphin game.
Yep.
Why don't you give them away? They trusted you with the tickets, which you did bring them to the site here. And we figured, okay, let's give them away at the track. And the last thing we expected was a guy to bring his son, cutting school, and having no regard whatsoever for authority or any of the normal protocols that a kid would have to practice, and coming here to the track to pick up the tickets, it so overwhelmingly impressed us. And then we get Rinaldi on the air that same day, and he requests the piano music. It wasn't like, yeah, we said, hey, Tom, man, can you make fun of yourself here on the show? No, he requests the piano music and goes into a shtick about this kid. I thought it was a glorious moment and a career highlight. I don't know that, you know, you feel that same distinction.
No, I am a big, big fan of the kid's dad, who I know is a listener to the show. He's probably listening this
morning. He's probably forcing this poor kid to listen to the show on the way to school, and then he cuts out of school.
He says, kid, you don't need school. We need to get to the track now. Because he's driving the car. So
it's kind of like last night I saw for the thousandth time Cinderella Man. I was watching pieces of this where, Russell Crowe as James J. Braddock tells his kid not to ever steal, that it doesn't matter how hungry we are, this is not what we do, we're not going to steal. In this case, he instilled a degenerate gene into the, if he didn't have it already, it was germinating that day when the kid realized, wow, this is way better than going to school.
No, I mean, the
hanging out with these radio guys at the track.
The dad was almost Blutarsky-esque when he was given that that thing with all the guys sitting on the couch. You know, did we quit when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Yeah.
And he said to the kid, you're not going to school, kid. We're going to Gulfstream. We're going to get those tickets. And here they came zooming on down. Hallandale Beach Boulevard came squealing into the parking lot.
The kid is wearing Alice Cooper makeup and singing, school's out for summer.
It was great.
School's out forever. Now, the thing, and the reason that I find this monumental is that we used to get a hold of Rinaldi. Not necessarily frequently, but on a reasonably regular basis.
Yep, right. Yep.
Like a couple of times a year, we would ask for Tom Rinaldi to come on. Luby would send him a text and go, hey, Tom, you got any time in the next 6 months that you might be able to come on, dial this up on the phone for 10 minutes, crack a few jokes with Defoe. And sure enough, he has disappeared. This is like, remember when Martha Mitchell was spirited away because she was about to say a few things that weren't going to be favorable to the party? And so all of a sudden, she just disappeared from sight, even though, you know, she was the wife of a very famous, statesman.
Well, Rinaldi may have decided that, you know, maybe this wasn't the best thing to come on this show for his, you know, career advancement.
But have you seen him anywhere? Now, Maria Taylor leaves ESPN, and that hour, she's speaking Japanese, and she's out there on the set for NBC.
Right.
The very next, like, hour, she was on TV hosting something else. She went right from the NBA Finals. That'll wrap it up from here for Mike Breen and everybody connected with the broadcast, Tom Maria Taylor, and next thing you heard behind her was... It's like, how did that woman do that? And Rinaldi has been on ice ever since he left ESPN.
No,
have you seen him anywhere on anything, Luby?
He did
even
the Fox
on like
playoffs,
an infomercial.
He was actually very Maria Taylor-esque. Like, early in the week, I saw him on ESPN, and then later in the week, when Fox had the playoff games, remember, college football is like one of the big things he does.
Yeah.
He was doing the college football playoffs for Fox. So, he's done stuff for Fox. The problem is, Fox doesn't have that many sports, right? Like, they do baseball, but I don't remember Tom Rinaldi being a baseball dude. So, like, I think he'll do NFL stuff with them. He'll do college football stuff with them. The other thing he did with ESPN was NBA. Fox doesn't have NBA. That's the problem when you leave ESPN, which has every sport. It, you know, there's less for you to do at these new networks. But I presume he's making a ton more money.
Yeah, just ask Rachel Nichols about that.
No, I just thought maybe he might have questioned about, you know, the times that he came on the show. If maybe, you know, it might not have been the best best career move, and you know, for a guy. And I think, you know, when now the subject today about biggest mistakes you ever made in your life. And I started thinking about it, and I'm looking across the table here, who's the guy who's sitting across the table from me. And I'm thinking maybe befriending you.
Might have been the biggest mistake of your life.
May have been the biggest possible mistake.
You know, you probably run that same principle by the Mustang, you know, in a different sense.
Beating Defoe was her worst mistake.
10 years, of that. All right, we're coming back with more. Deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday, Luby's Draft Analysis. We'll step that up a little bit in the 8 o'clock hour because I don't know that we've gone into enough in-depth detail on what happened in the NBA Draft. And I don't mean to make light of it. It's probably going to change the fortunes of at least one. How many franchises' fortunes will be changed by what transpired? Either positive or negative.
I was going to say, it's not always good.
In the draft.
A lot of franchises. You said the Kings. The Kings every year miss on draft picks that have set them
back. They blow it every year. every year since they took Vlade Divac.
Exactly.
They drafted Westbrook Divac to the Lakers. I like that move. I really do. I'm very impressed that the Lakers were able to pull that off. Right? The agent guy that looks like Rob Lowe, that was making that stupid noise when they won the championship. I was so happy to get knocked out in the first round this year.
You look like Rob Lowe?
He looks like Rob Lowe.
He does look like Rob Lowe.
The actor.
Rob Pelinka.
Pelinka. Ron Pelinka is the guy's name.
Yeah. All right.
He does. He's a spitting image from Rob Lowe. Rob Lowe plays Pelinka in the Lakers story. But getting Westbrook, that was good. And I think Kyle Kuzma is a bit of a stiff. I'll see if we're wrong about that, Luby, now that he has a new circumstance where he can blossom with the Wizards.
And I'm kind of hoping tomorrow in the Jim Dandy at Saratoga, the $600,000 race, I'm hoping Essential Quality, who was your Belmont winner that we had, I'm hoping he's a stiff, because I got a horse tomorrow. We'll do it right after
sound
the
like
break.
Buyer. Yeah, you're ready to morph into a little buyer here.
Maybe I'm a horse tomorrow.
I'm looking forward later on to the Gambling Gourmet, Mike Mayo, because I like the way that he says shamuja.
But if you like ramen noodles, the noodles that they have there at the Shamuja, it's a good place. It's right there in Broward County. Broward County, they got good stuff. And the pizza, they have pizza too, and it's made by these two people. They're really good people, so go by there.
Shamuja. No, he says
he doesn't
that,
make
I mean,
the food sound great. He really great makes it sound like it's a movie. Like,
oh,
really?
Man, he starts talking about like extract of pear that they dipped in there with the lemon sauce. It's like, God.
I mean, I'm a Brooklyn boy, and I'm from Brooklyn.
He was back in Brooklyn.
If you like ramen, then Shamuja. I mean, Shamuja's the place.
He had a big pick four the other day at Saratoga. This guy, very intelligent, that Tufts background.
Love Mayo. I mean, he's
Mayo's
great.
Yeah. Who knew he went to like the Institution of Higher Finance
like
or something?
London. No, he went to London Financial District.
Are you kidding me?
And he also spends a lot of time at Taco Bell, which, you know,
it's
is
really
good.
Fun.
I mean, you got to love that about
you
the
You got
guy.
All of your financial wisdom from some loan shark in Canarsie.
Yeah, no.
All right, back with more in a moment. Now that.
Hey, really? I thought it was a flower shop. It wasn't.
Now you're paying 6.5% juice, right, for 3 weeks and then one extra day. How much do you owe me? It's 7:53.
I tell you all this because I've seen it all, so I just want to set the record straight while they're here. One of our attorneys is a Jew. We have very close friends that are Jewish and rabbis, and we also fellowship with them.
There is nothing better than Defoe. Welcome back to The Defoe Show.
Who is that? Strom Thurmond's wife? In that clip, Luby. Glad she clarified that one of her attorneys is a Jew.
Yeah, and that she likes them.
Yeah, they're okay with us.
Yeah,
it's the age of political correctness. All right, it's a deal. Volkswagen Degenerate Friday. Jersey has his stimulus package horse. I don't know, last time you say you got job there, Reese came off the turf, and they were in a slop. Well, we'll have that for you in just a few seconds here on the show. We're trackside live at Gulfstream Park. I see the great Billy Badgett out there. He's been eyeballing a horse. So whatever horse that is that he's watching, I want to get a name or something.
I'm going to go see if I can get some information out of Billy. He's usually pretty forthcoming with stuff like that, so I'm going to try to grab him on my way to the car.
Stopwatch and binoculars.
Yeah, the binocs.
A lot of things going on.
Yeah, he brought out the binocs.
I thought it was Christophe Clement at first, although thinner. Billy Badgett looking good out here at the track, doing a great job. We'll be punching away 2 o'clock today for the Twilight Racing. The deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday continues. Iron Eagle in the 8 o'clock hour. Mike Mayo later on at Gambling Gourmet. Back in a moment. Now that.
The time.
And a Greek at 3 o'clock today. It's 8:01.